Thank you for tuning into Conspiracy is the Theory. This is Chris, and I'm here today with Bartleby Jones. He is a paranormal investigator. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. So what got you into doing the paranormal activity and going into that kind of stuff?
I guess I've always really been interested in it. I mean, I can think back to elementary school. I used to do research into the paranormal, and I did a actual research paper on the chupacabra because that was really big at the time, the goat shucker of Mexico. This thing was killing animals and livestock, and nobody knew what it was. And I was always doing like paranormal and ghost investigations and stuff, you know, even way back then.
That's cool. You know, my wife is Guatemalan, but I'm from California, so most of my exes are Hispanic from Mexico. And the chupacabra, that's what they threaten their kids with. They threaten their kids with the chupacabra is going to get you. You keep messing with me. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I would act up every single day if that was the case.
There you go, dude. Yeah, it was. So the chupacabra, I'm very familiar with the chupacabra. Did you ever, did you go out there and actually look for it, or were you just watching on the TV and that's what got you sparked?
Well, this was right. This is dating myself. I mean, I think the chupacabra dated me already, but this was right when the internet started, you know, popping up and being like prevalent in schools and stuff. And you could get all the news articles and stuff from, you know, down in Puerto Rico and Mexico and stuff when this was happening. Mm-hmm. I have not gone down there yet. There's been a couple recent sightings or reports of the chupacabra down in Puerto Rico about a year or two ago, I think now. Mm-hmm. But that's the most recent that I've personally heard of. So,
well, I've been to Puerto Rico a few times. I think there's a big like forest out in Puerto Rico, like on half of the island. On the other side is like a big forest area. So they could be accurate. I just wonder how it got to Puerto Rico.
What's that?
I wonder how it got to Puerto Rico from Mexico.
Right. They're supposed to be living down in the caves in Puerto Rico, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's like a rainforest out there. You can go out there and go sliding, you know, across the wires and whatnot. I never did that because I'm scared of heights, but that's just me. Yeah. So you have a company called CAPS. What does CAPS stand for, Barnaby?
Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society. We cover everything from paranormal, Bigfoot, chupacabra, lake monsters. We're currently filming an entire episode on UFOs in Wisconsin this year. Mm-hmm. Our YouTube channel, we put out a main YouTube episode every 2 months. And this year we've done a two-part episode on the Chicago Mothman sightings. We just released the Ghost of Gettysburg episode. The next episode coming out is going to be Portal 31. It is a coal mine that was shut down, and you can tour it, that is haunted down in Kentucky. Then we go Bigfooting with the Turtle Man from Animal Planet. And then the last episode for this season is going to be the Oshkosh Grand Opera House.
Man, that's cool. So you're a very busy guy.
Oh, yeah. Today we are doing a CE5 experiment, mm-hmm. A group experiment, public for people to come out, and we're going to try and contact aliens tonight. So that's what I'm doing later today.
That's cool, dude. I love aliens. I really haven't had too many alien investigators on the show. I've had a lot of guests who've seen aliens, but man, so what got you into, you said it's, what state are you're doing the investigation on the aliens again?
We are doing it in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. So what made you go, we're going to focus on aliens in Wisconsin? There's something big in Wisconsin I don't know about?
No, I'm just from Wisconsin.
I'm from California, but I live in Kentucky. Where is that thing in Kentucky you can go to in that ghost mine?
Well, we had permission to do the paranormal investigation there, but otherwise it's just open to the public as a mine tour. And that is Portal 31 in Lynch County. It's just outside of Benham, Kentucky.
Okay, that's cool. That's definitely something to check out. Now, have you ever did an investigation that scared the hell out of you?
No, I don't think I would say it really scared me, but we've had some pretty intense ones. we actually got called in to do a paranormal investigation for a house here, a private house in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And it's on our YouTube. It's called Documenting Fear. And this family was having all this activity that was what they considered like demonic and evil, and, you know, like things appearing in the mirror, things appearing in photographs, all kinds of messed up stuff. And they thought that, you know, they were going crazy or something was wrong with them, or so they wanted us to come in and, you know, do an investigation and see if we could capture any of the stuff to basically like validate what they were saying. And everyone that walked into that house from my team left with something.
Oh, wow.
Like there was an energy still attached to us after we left. And we had a ton of evidence from that place. We didn't get much, we didn't get much when we were there, you know, like on the equipment, the REM pods, EMF, you know, all of our devices and stuff. But when we got home and started going through the audio and the video evidence and that, there's all kinds of EVPs. There's an entire conversation between two entities upstairs that, you know, is just disturbing. And that's all in our episode. And you know, so we tried to work with the family, you know, and try and help them in that. Basically, what happened with that is we got called in like the week before they were moving out of that place. Mm-hmm. And their lease wasn't up. They didn't have anywhere to go, but they packed up all their stuff, put it into a storage unit, and then moved into a hotel just to get out of that. It was a rental property. And the family, it was a duplex, and the family that lived upstairs had moved out just abruptly a couple weeks prior to that as well. But they didn't communicate with them, so they don't know why they left. It's possible they were having similar encounters and stuff there. But we were supposed to come in, and when they got a new place, they wanted us to sage and clean it all in that, and make sure that whatever it was didn't follow them. And we were in contact with them for a short time while they were in the hotel, and then we completely just lost contact with them up until recently. And they are still having activity in their new place. They've had counseling from a priest now, and nothing is seeming to help them. We got them in contact with a medium and another exorcist that we know from our team, and we're still trying to help them get rid of whatever's still attached to them. But that's probably one of the most intense cases that we've worked.
Wow, because some of those things can just follow you from place to place, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not necessarily do things attached to houses or objects and people in general, but it's a lot to do with your mindset. A lot of the stuff that we investigate with paranormal and other things that are, you know, otherworldly, I guess, they can attach themselves if you're not in a proper mindset, because everything is intent and energy. And if you're in a lower vibrational mindset, lower frequency, you're more susceptible to having these negative entities attached to you and, you know, just kind of latch on and stuff. And it's not so much that you can come in and say, you know, leave and sage the house, or, you know, cleanse it and make everything all right. It's a major change for whoever these people are attached to, in this case, this family. I mean, this is something that, you know, they need to keep their energy up and change their mindset and how they view all this, you know, instead of being so much afraid of it, which it definitely can be scary when things are moving and, you know, you're hearing your name and you're seeing pictures of dead relatives appear in photographs that you've taken with your cell phone and, you know, that all this stuff that was happening to them. And you have to take a step back and say, you know, I'm not afraid of you. You don't belong here. You need to leave. And to put your foot down and basically kick that thing out, whatever this is. And, you know, I hate to say it, but they need to do that. And I don't think that they're at that point in their decision yet to make those changes that they need to. So
the ghost, the entities attach them to somebody who is they're not as strong-willed. Is that what you're trying to say? Like they get in there and you're maybe more scared of it and it takes over?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. Like a lot of people like that have bad situations, you know, like depression or, you know, like the suicidal thoughts and that. When you're in a low state mentally to begin with, you open yourself up to these things because they can prey on that. It's one of the theories is that these things are like energy vampires and sort of these entities or whatever, and they can latch on to these people with the lower vibration and basically suck that energy and feed off of the negativity. So they don't want you to be happy and healthy and stuff like that. They want you to be constantly depressed and anxious and just at this lower vibrational level where they can, you know, manipulate that and keep you there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It means that so these entities, they feed off your energy. Is that what makes them stronger?
I would believe so. I mean, like I said earlier, everything is energy. I mean, you know, the desk in front of you, the computer, everything that these things, these, you know, everything in the world, in the universe is made up of tiny molecules of energy. You know, it's just how they're put together that forms the objects that we see in our daily lives. So everything, every, you know, thing in the universe is energy. It's just how it's put together. So it makes sense that, you know, if you have a higher vibrational energy or a lower vibrational energy, that's what's causing these things to manifest or whatever. So if you have a lower vibration, depression, anxiety, stuff like that, you're giving your energy to these other things so that they have energy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've talked to several paranormal investigators. They're always like, it takes longer to get back to you because they're trying to get the energy to make the light pop up to do something like that. So they're taking energy from somewhere. That's really, dude. That's, I didn't know all that. That's good information to have, Barnaby. You know what I mean? So if something's bothering you, just stand up to it. I like that theory. Kind of puts you back in control.
In a short sense, yeah. It's you know, just standing up to it is one thing, but you have to believe what you're saying. You know, the whole thing of intent, you know, some people that, you know, I used to have a problem with, I'm not religious in any way. And a lot of the times these people that say, you know, well, if you invoke the name of God or Jesus, it pushes these entities out. Well, I had a problem with that because let's say, for instance, you know, and then I'm not bashing any religion or anything, but if Jesus and God isn't real, why would that name affect anything else? You know,
yeah.
How does that affect it? But in the grander scheme, you're not invoking that deity itself. You're invoking the energy and the belief energy that you have. So if you believe in this higher power, that power has deity has a lot of power for you. Mm-hmm. And by invoking that, you are using your belief and your energy in this higher power to banish whatever's there. You know, if you believe in Ronald McDonald from McDonald's as the highest power, and you have faith in him, and you call upon Ronald McDonald, he's going to banish just as much as Jesus, because you're using that energy to say this higher power does not want you here.
Wow. Nobody's ever explained it like that. Yeah. You know what? That makes perfect sense. It makes sense why things like that would work. You know, using your energy to kind of dispose of it with, it doesn't matter if what you think is reality, whether, you know, God is or whatever you believe. That's a great philosophy, Barnaby. I mean, it really is, dude. I'll give you kudos on that. Nobody's ever brought it down and explained to me like that before. Now, another question, like I said, you're doing this UFO thing. Like, I'm intrigued by this in Wisconsin, right? Have you ever seen a UFO before?
I have seen possibly two UFOs. Once, way before I was doing CAPS, we were filming a promo for, I used to do professional wrestling, and myself and another wrestler were out filming this promo, and there was a weird object in the sky, and we had filmed it at the time, but this was, you know, obviously way before CAPS and Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, so I don't know where that video ever went to. But more recently, we were up in St. Ignace, Upper Michigan, and we were driving over the bridge from Lower Michigan to Upper Michigan, and there was a strange object in the sky at the opposite end of the bridge. And myself and one of my other team members were driving to a convention there, and we saw it there. So that's my more recent one. But otherwise, I wouldn't say we've had some. We just did another CE5 experiment, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, a couple weeks ago, and we had what are called like flash bulbs in the sky, which are like little strobe lights. Mm-hmm. They go and they flash off. And supposedly a lot of people that do the CE5 say that, you know, those are, you know, extraterrestrials or interdimensionals trying to communicate. So we've seen a couple of those. But other than that, yeah, I haven't. My other investigator, Derek, has actually two pictures of disc-shaped crafts that he just, one was taken this year, a couple weeks ago, and one was taken, I think, a year or so, a little bit more than that ago, both in the Fond du Lac, Wisconsin area.
Oh, well, that's cool, man. Is that going to be on the thing that you're shooting right now for Wisconsin?
Yep, that'll come out. I believe it'll be out next July on our page. It's Wisconsin Caps on YouTube.
So it takes a year to film it and then get it out?
We do a lot of stuff. we're filming. We film six episodes a year for our main series, which is Road Trip now. Mm-hmm. And like I said, our whole year this year is filmed and scheduled for this year's episodes. We have a couple episodes we're filming for next year, and we're already planning for what we're doing next year as well for our filming. In that, we do a main like documentary series where we go out and investigate certain things. It could be like Bigfoot. So we worked in different areas of Wisconsin, and we met with witnesses. We documented what we found. We did field work in that. And then we present it in a roughly hour-long documentary-style episode. Mm-hmm. So we do these main ones. We also do, you know, like private investigations at, you know, homes and stuff. And if we get permission to air those, or bars, or, you know, different businesses and stuff that call us to investigate, we will also air those as episodes if we have enough evidence and permission to do so. We do a spinoff of our main show called Finding Hayden, which is all Bigfoot stuff that we filmed up at the Hayden Adventure in Upper Michigan. And this is 80 acres of private property that had Finding Bigfoot come out and film an episode on. And they used to do public tours of the property, of the evidence and that, but have since stopped doing that. But we still have access to all 80 acres to do our research. And we are still up there researching. We have stuff going on this year. But for the last 3 years, we have done countless experiments. We've had over 20 trail cameras on the property. We've gotten thermal image of a Bigfoot. We've gotten a trail camera picture of a Bigfoot. We have gotten audio evidence. I mean, you name it. We have got the gambit of Bigfoot evidence off of that property in the last 3 years.
Wow. But nobody's caught one. How does that happen? You have all that evidence, but nobody gets near it. How does that happen, Barnaby?
I believe they're very intelligent creatures. Very intelligent. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I mean, there's a lot of different theories and lore and stuff about these creatures, you know, that they used to coincide and live in, you know, conjunction with the Native Americans and stuff. And one day something happened and the Native people decided that they didn't want these things around anymore. So they started killing them and hunting them and stuff. So it would make sense that these creatures just don't like humans. You know, they avoid them, which, you know, a lot of animals do. I mean, deer, we're basically a predator. We shoot things, we eat things, you know, and, you know, Bigfoot out in the woods knows that. They see that, you know. And no matter how much time you spend out in the woods, you're never going to be as competent out there as one of these creatures. You're never going to know every hidey hole. You're never going to know how to navigate these woods in the dark and stuff. as well as they do. So it's very easy for these things to avoid humans if wanted.
Yeah, I heard something that no matter where you're at, they know you're there. No matter how quiet you are, oh, every animal knows that you're in that forest.
Definitely.
Yeah, so they just know to avoid you. And this is kind of a funny thing that I had a friend who was a comedian, Eric Myers. He's passed away, God rest his soul. He had this joke, right? You know, it's like, why do people say ghosted? He goes, I've been Bigfooted, because Bigfoot you can't find. He disappears. He goes, ghosts want to be seen. They're throwing stuff around the house, but why do they say ghosted? It should be Bigfooted. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he had that comedy bit in his thing. And I always cracked up laughing every time somebody said ghost. I'm like, he's supposed to be Bigfooted. But so you have this this evidence now, and all the time that you've been doing all this stuff, what is the most, if you had to put something down and say, this is the one thing I have that no matter, this says that there is ghosts, or this says there is aliens, or this says, what evidence do you have that without a doubt proves that there are ghosts or aliens or Bigfoot or anything like that?
We've gotten a lot of very compelling evidence. I mean, excuse me. Let's see. I can tell you my personal experience with the paranormal. I don't have it on film, so I don't know if you want to call it evidence, though.
Okay.
So I used to own a Halloween haunted house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a seasonal attraction that you go and get scared at. And it was in a legitimately haunted building. And it had these skylights in it. So during the day, it would be very bright in there. And so in order to do the scenic lighting for the attraction, I had to go out there one night to set it up prior to our opening when we had first moved into this building. And I had a scene that was a big swamp with a waterfall and these big trees, and there was these big styrofoam blocks around the pond that I had all ferns and stuff stabbed into. So it was really like a big swamp area. And that was one of the first rooms I was working on the lighting with. And I walked into this room, and I walked to the far end of the room and looking at the whole room from the end. And next to the waterfall, there was this 6-foot fake tree. And one of the branches is just like lightly bobbing in the breeze, I'll say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this building has 8-foot haunted house walls. There's no airflow. There's no movement. It is, you know, hot as hell in there in the summer. So there's no wind coming in there to move this branch. So it kind of, you know, sparked my interest. Why is that branch moving? And so I shined my headlamp. I had a light on my hat on it, and it's just bobbing up and down. And so I walked over to it, and I'm standing directly across from it. There was the styrofoam blocks in front of me with all the ferns and stuff in it. And I'm watching this thing bob. And as I get, you know, about like 2 feet away from it, standing directly opposite the styrofoam from it, the whole tree starts to violently shake. Like somebody grabbed a hold of it and was just shaking this tree. And, you know, I'm still thinking, you know, maybe my landlord's in here, you know, messing with me, but I'm not seeing anybody in there. We had security cameras around the building. There's nobody in this building, I guarantee it. So I stepped back to try and like look behind it. And as I did, the tree lifted up and fell across the path in front of me where I had been standing.
Oh, wow.
This tree has a like a cement base to keep it standing upright in a basket. And you know the old toys, the Weebles? You know, Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what this tree was. So I left. I you know, this was before CAPS. We had been doing some investigating out there. In fact, like, you can see the fallout from this that we actually recorded, and that, not the actual evidence of what happened, because it wasn't caught on, you know, security camera. We don't have security cameras aimed at where I was, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But where was I going with that? Oh, so we went back to look at this tree, if you pull it, like grab the branch and like pull it over, you have to pull it past like 45 degrees to get this thing to actually fall over. The cement base makes it pop back up to standing. It's very hard to get this tree to fall over, besides getting it to fall over the top of a foot and a half tall styrofoam block. So it lifted up over that and was laying like on that across the path. So whatever did that had a lot of energy. And that to this day has still been my most intense something else is out there paranormal experience.
Dude, that's a crazy one too, huh?
Yeah. we had everything. We had disembodied voices out there. We have the audio of a little girl that says, scary. Mm-hmm. We have that recorded. It's our second episode, season one, episode two, a haunted house. And we have all the footage from, you know, when we were doing this haunted house and stuff, and interviews with my actors at the time and that, and just all the stuff that happened out there. We saw shadow figures, voices, things moving, mm-hmm. objects getting unplugged, electrical issues, all kinds of stuff, you name it out there.
That's cool. Now, quick, before I let you go, you said that you had a conversation, two ghosts having a conversation. What were they talking about? You said the last place you went, you had some video and there were two ghosts having a conversation when nobody was around. What were they talking about?
That was the Kenosha one?
Yes. Yeah. It hasn't left my mind yet. You said there's two ghosts, they're having a conversation. I held on to this whole time. I'm like, I got to know what they're talking about.
It wasn't good, I'll tell you that. So in the episode, the people that live there are Rick and Gene.
Uh-huh.
And they had a son and a daughter that wasn't living there, but the son still lived with them at the time. And up in the upstairs, they had basically abandoned the upstairs of this place because they said, you know, you can have it. We're just going to stay on the first floor. And we had an audio recorder running upstairs the whole time while we were there. And at one point, there's a conversation between these two things. And it's nobody else in the house. We had audio all over the house with cameras and stuff. Nobody's talking. This thing is, whatever it is upstairs. And it says something, it's in the episode, you can go watch it. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase basically what it was, but it's like, hurt him. And then the other thing says, no. And then it says, yes. And then the other thing goes, okay, or something like that. Hurt him now. No. You know, and it was very creepy. It was two things. One of them wanted like the other one to do something bad. The other one didn't want to do it. And then this thing like growls at it. And then it kind of submits. It's a very creepy piece of audio.
Gosh, dude. Oh, that gives me the chills, man. I'm not gonna lie, dude. That gives me the chills. Wow.
Yeah. It's in the episode. You can go listen to it for yourself. And that it's the, I don't remember what season it is, but it's Documenting Fear is the name of the episode on our YouTube.
And then where can the listeners find your stuff at? Because I know you're doing a lot of stuff. Where can they find you at and they can get more information from you and see some of the episodes you're talking about?
Yeah. So we have a website. It's Wisconsin Caps, which is all spelled out Wisconsin and then CAPS.com. And we have links to our podcast, which is Whispers from the Dark. You can get that wherever you hear podcasts. We have guests from all walks of life. We are having, we just had Dave Schrader on there from the Hoser Files. We have Jeremy Leonard from Ghosts of Morgan City. We have Chris Fleming. We have all kinds of mediums and psychics. We have all kinds of guests. We go to a lot of conventions, so we talk to people and get their stories at the conventions, as well as the personalities and stuff that are on there. And that's every Monday a new episode comes out on that. And I also host a live radio show on WLTK DB Paranormal Radio, and that's WLTKDB.com, I think. And there's links for that on our website as well. But that's every Monday morning from noon to one. And we have a ton of cool guests on there as well. We talk everything. That's a cryptozoology show, so that's mostly creatures and stuff. But Whispers from the Dark is everything paranormal and mediums and UFOs and all that stuff. And then our YouTube show is on YouTube at Wisconsin Cats as well. You can find us. All the links are right on the top of the webpage. And we also do paranormal tours. So you can come out and investigate us if you're from Wisconsin. We do a local establishment that you can come out and do tours with us and investigate paranormal yourself.
Dude, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Barnaby. Yeah, definitely check out. I got to check out your stuff, man. Definitely email me if you can. That I got to hear those two ghosts talking, man. So that's crazy. But yeah, and thank you so much for being on the show. You're welcome back any other time. Sounds good, brother. Thank you so much, Barnaby. I really appreciate everything, dude. All right, man. All right,
you bye. Too, man. Take care.
You too, bye.
Bye.